Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an APP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, two young women see a peculiar sight while walking home late one night, but they got confirmation of what they saw the next morning. Could two apparitions be responsible for a family's home catching fire? Or could they be the reason the fire stopped where it did? A listener learns his lesson when provoking a spirit in New Orleans, and a listener describes the reenactor she saw at a famous battlefield as a child. Only these are no reenactors. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brusky joining you once again.
Hi.
How are you this fine day?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm a little bit scarred. At least I would be if I was a small child.
Why?
Because, and I'm just wondering about this. And I'm wondering if anyone's children are scarred by this. All of the blow-up holiday decor that's in people's yards. Sure, when it's blown up at night and lit up, it looks jolly and bright.
Uh-huh.
But during the day, it looks like there's dead reindeer and dead Santa Clauses laying all over people's yards because they turned the power off on these things, and it looks like Santa got massacred.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, you know, obviously to probably a 5-6-year-old, they know it's a decoration.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it's like, no big deal. It's like, oh, it's just a decoration. It blows up. Comes down. But I'm thinking to, like, the 2-year-olds,
mm-hmm.
you know, that are seeing this body of Santa on the ground. Is that a scarring thing, you know, or do they get it too? I don't know.
I think they get it if you tell them it's like a balloon.
Okay. And they're like, Santa's dead. Why is Santa laying down? What happened to Santa? I'm not a big fan of the inflatables.
No.
Just personally. I don't know. I enjoy Christmas lights, the candy canes and things of that nature. I really didn't like the big plastic things either.
Mm-hmm.
Back at when before inflatables, when people
sure.
would put the array of plastic ornamentation around their yard.
Mm-hmm.
That, too, I was like, no. But I don't know. I think I would take the plastic over the inflatables because the plastics stay in their shape
uh-huh.
all the time. The inflatables, they go down and it's just kind of weird looking. Anyway,
I don't know.
That's my thought of the day.
Okay, that was a good one.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Of course, you can also write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get your stories to us. Danny writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Danny from Colorado. I wrote in with a story about my cousin before. Thank you so much for reading that. It made my week. I'd like to start off by saying that I talked to my mom about what Jenny said in that episode about how something must have driven me to wear that specific Batman hoodie to the funeral. She agreed. She said my cousin's mom's attitude confirmed it. I saw the deceased mom at a party a few weeks ago when she broke down. She hugged me, told me how she was super proud of me and I was going to be anything I wanted and asked why I cut my hair. I guess I looked more like her daughter than I thought and it makes me a bit uncomfortable when I'm stubborn about my appearance, so why change? I want to tell you about some things that have been happening at my church. My mom works as the religious education coordinator at a Catholic church in a small part of a major city. The church itself turned 40 just this decade. Don't remember when, but it's relatively new. I've seen two exorcisms happen there. One so dangerous, we had to keep the catechism kids out of a certain area of the church. Later, we came to find out the later exorcism was unsuccessful and the possession left. Well, possessed. Or the possessed was left well possessed. Mm-hmm. Oh, that doesn't sound good. I have a 4-year-old brother who tells us fantastical stories of things that happened when he was big, and we don't pay much attention to them. One day around noon, he ran to my mom's office at the church, screaming that he was being chased by some dogs. He described them as big dogs, 3 of them, 2 black, 1 brown, being dragged by a lady. My mom and the secretary went to the classrooms where he ran from. Sure enough, no dogs. He has a tell when he's lying, and he looked scared to death, crying and hardly able to talk. The church sees a lot of funerals, and we don't like to think the spirits linger, but rather the emotion is what causes this, or the fact that priests have literally pulled demons from innocent people at the very least twice in the last 40 years. The secretary recently heard a woman crying during the funeral of a young boy. She heard wailing, horrible distress screams. Eventually, the wailing pissed her off and she stopped doing her work and stepped out of her office. She came to find that the funeral was long over and the guests had gone, the dead gone, only the cleaning lady remained. And the secretary still heard the woman wailing. "Shut that woman up," she begged. The cleaning lady simply replied with, "Mother of God, what woman?" Nobody was wailing during the funeral. In fact, the boy's mother was oddly serene. Sometimes I wonder if things are attracted to the emotions at churches or if evil tries to poke its face where they're supposed to be good. As for my 12 dolls, I still have them. My mom told me to get rid of them, and by the time you publish this, I probably will. They're hollow, and as my mom says, not mine. They once belonged to someone else and probably hold emotions. And the future predicting dreams, I predict the day I was asked to resign from my previous job right down to the shirt person who bullied me out, I've adjusted my sleep schedule so I don't dream as often, and when I do, I believe I might slowly be conditioning myself to lucid dream since I'm aware of when I dream sometimes. Love the show. I'll become an EPP next month, and I will keep you posted with the juicy stories of witchcraft and demons in my family. If we're doing what you do.
There was a lot in that story.
Uh-huh.
And I think the thing that kind of piqued my interest was the little brother that talks about when he was big.
Yeah.
You know, I know that's not really ghostly, but, you know, possible reincarnation stories.
Is that one of those? I mean, it's fun. I mean, Harp will do that too sometimes.
Yeah, but Harp knows things she shouldn't know.
Yeah. But she has a good imagination, too. She'll just make shit up, too.
She knows how to freak her mom out.
Yeah. I think some of that is her just knowing how to make things up and freak you out.
Yeah, could be.
But when she was really little and just beginning to speak sometimes, like, when I was big, mm-hmm. You'll hear that sometimes. And, like, what are you talking about? You know? But that's an interesting thing to think about, you know, when they're at that age and they suddenly start referencing things they really should have no knowledge of,
mm-hmm.
You know? What about the exorcism?
That's not a good thing when it left, you know, the person that was possessed left still possessed.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, too, when you do an exorcism in a church like that, where does the demon go?
Well, hopefully back to hell. That would be, I think, the process of that. But I think it's like, hey, go hang out in the preschool room down the hall. Third door on the left.
Well, see, I'd worry about it.
Leaving and staying there, mm-hmm. and waiting for its next victim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know if that's possible in a church, but...
I don't know.
I wonder about it immediately leaving somebody and going to find somebody else.
It was an interesting imagery where he said they had to keep the catechism kids away. That would be one hell of a thing to find when you're a catechism kid and you're wandering around the church before the class, after the class, you know, with your friends or something, and all of a sudden you walk in on the exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
That wouldn't be all that much fun.
No.
Be a little odd. Although, if I was one of those kids, I can imagine I'd probably, like, sit there and try and, like, peek through the crack in the door or the keyhole or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd be so morbidly, curious as to what was going on. Thanks for that story. The number here, 855-853-4802, to call in your real ghost story. Of course, you can always write in on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you've not done so yet, please become an EPP. That is what helps keep this show on the air. Lots of good episodes there. And I'm beginning to put together the next episode of Talking Ghosts or Seeing Ghosts for January.
Okay.
Trying to get some good photos in for that. So if you have a ghost photo that you'd like to share with us, you can email that to me, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Really excited about that episode. I only have like two photos lined up so far that have made our cut, but one of them is really good. The other one's good, but there's one, it's rare where I get a ghost photo and go, that's really good.
Okay.
And it's of a little boy, and it's just someone that took a picture of their dog. And then off in the background, it's a clear as day. And it doesn't have the feel of Photoshop to me in it. You know, I'm not an expert in that. But for the most part, you know, I don't know. You kind of get a gut feeling if that was Photoshopped. And those I stray away from because some were pretty obviously Photoshopped. This one does not have that feel at all. And if it is, damn good job at Photoshopping. Kudos to you. But it looks really interesting and really intriguing. We'll share that with our EPPs in the beginning of January when that next episode comes out. So when you're an EPP, you get access to that, and you can see the first episode of Seeing Ghosts right now when you sign up. And there's some good photos in there, too. Rebecca writes in, when I was about 11 years old, my family and I were living in Burleson, Texas. Did I say that right?
I think it's Burleson.
Burleson? Mm-hmm. That's what I said, isn't it?
I don't know.
I had my own bunk. Oh, damn it. I need the bell.
Ding.
If someone's giving me a Christmas gift, a bell.
Your Christmas gifts are already picked out and a bell is not included.
Just the little, you know,
no.
Type that you hit. Orders up, that type. No, I'm asking our audience if someone wants to get a gift. If somebody's so, you know, really would like a bell. Just one. All I need is one bell. And then, bam, we can use it every time bunk bed comes up.
You'll get 12.
That's true. The first person, I'll tell everybody else, thank you. I really appreciate it, but a bell would be great. With a futon for the bottom bunk. I like to sleep on the top, and at the time this happened, I had in the middle of my room with a head against the wall. This put my bedroom door on my left, my closet at my right, and my ceiling fan directly above me. This particular night, I had pulled the chain on my ceiling fan, leaving just the fan on with the light off. As I was lying on my back trying to go to sleep, I noticed the motor of my fan was going off on and off, and I could hear my light switch clicking. I turned my head to see a tall shadow figure standing in the doorway of my room messing with my light switch. I was so scared, I turned to face my face towards the ceiling and laid completely still, hoping this thing wouldn't see me or touch me. After a few seconds, I started to hear which sounded like someone running from my bedroom door to my closet door. This meant that whatever I saw was running around my bed. I laid there for what seemed like hours, but was probably only seconds. There was a loud bang, and I heard something fall over, and it stopped. I don't think I slept much that night, but I was too afraid to get down from the top bunk. The next morning, I saw that my skateboard, which I had propped against my wall and my bed was against, had fallen over. My baseball bat, which was next to my skateboard, had also fallen. I told my parents about it, and of course they didn't believe me, but this isn't the only thing that happened in the house. After that night, I talked my dad into putting my bed against another wall so I could see my whole room. A few months later, I was behind my futon, the top bunk, and was cleaning. I heard something scurry across a box I had in my room and stood up to see what it was. As soon as I stood up, my door, which was completely open, slammed shut. I ran out of my room expecting to see my sister, who loved to play pranks, laughing, but her and my mom were in the other end of the house. My sister had experiences in this house, too. I had experiences since moving out of it, and my sister and I have even had shared this experience. Now, this is my only experience with a shadow person. I love listening to your show. Thanks for keeping it going.
Do you think furniture placement can impact haunting?
Like the feng shui of the room?
I don't know so much as the feng shui of the room, which I totally buy into that. But if having your bed in a certain place maybe irritates whatever's in your room?
Sure. I think if you have, you were talking about that the other day, of like a home and the way it's designed or redesigned after a previous owner has been there, mm-hmm. and their ghost maybe lingers on, and if things are put in a place that they don't approve of, sure, I think that can anger something.
Yeah.
And a bed could easily do that, just as any other piece of furniture could.
Especially a bunk bed.
Especially a bunk bed. I don't know what the hell it is with bunk beds, but if you go and you, I said this the other day, if you track down all the furniture that we've talked about on this show, and you go, or just objects in general, just physical objects, mm-hmm. and you said, okay, what seems to have the most hauntings related to them? Ouija boards probably at the top of the list for an object mm-hmm. that we have then relating to a haunting. I'd say bunk beds are probably in the top five.
Yeah, I would think so.
I don't know why. It's a very random thing to have up there. I mean, cemeteries, you know, graveyard, you know, gravestones, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know, there's other things that can be into that category. But a bunk bed, for whatever reason, consistently comes up with weird shit going on.
Yeah.
I don't know why that is. I have plenty of assumptions and guesses and things that we've, you know, talked about on the air over the years here, but I don't know. I still stand by. I think there was something going on at some bunk bed factory, like, I don't know, 20 years ago. And these bunk beds have gone out there, and now the stories are being told. 855-853-4802 is our number, our next letter. Hi, Tony and Jenny. Thank you for your show. You guys are simply amazing. Love your show. Love your chemistry on the show. Tony has an intriguing way of telling a story, and Jenny is so sweet, smart, and love how much love she has for her Tony. Anyway, I have been listening to you guys for the past year and a half. I wanted to write, but my English is not the greatest. And knowing Tony, how he has a tendency to make fun of people, I was kind of shy. I don't make fun of people. I'm nice. Do I make fun of people?
No comment.
I don't think I make fun of... I make fun of situations.
Okay.
But anyway, but not to worry. I like your way of joking. It makes the show more fun. And trust me, sometimes I'm in tears from laughter listening to your jokes. Anyhow, I'll attempt to tell my story. Okay. My name is... I'm going to butcher this.
It's Diana, the J song.
Oh, look at that.
So, yeah.
If I read that silent J part first, I could have figured that out.
Just go with Diana.
Diana. I currently live in Canada, but my... Oh, that's Canada. But I am from the ex-Yugoslavia. Back in 1995, I was in Europe, and it was normal for teenagers to go to disco clubs. So I and my best friend were returning home from disco club at 3 or 4 a.m. I was 16 and my friend was 17, so we were tired since we danced the whole night. As we were close to our building, 5 minutes or 5 minutes away walking, I and my best friend were walking slowly, not even talking, just glad to be close to home. At once, I saw a woman on a bicycle approach us on my right-hand side. She was approaching us from the opposite direction. It was a summer night, I forgot to say. It was a pleasant temperature since it was 3 or 4 a.m. However, when this lady in her 40s or so approached us on a bicycle, I was so cold, freezing cold, as she looked at me, our eyes locked. My mind started racing and I started telling myself, "Get a hold of yourself. It's a woman. Why would you be scared of a woman on a bicycle? Like she's going to jump you or attack you." I said nothing to my friend. I just shrugged it off. But then I and my friend stopped walking and turned around 180 degrees towards that woman. That woman was sitting on a bicycle underneath the train bridge and staring at us. I could not understand why she was staring and why I cannot move. And what she would do. She appeared so close and so far and again close and far. I thought she was amazing to keep her balance without falling from her bike. She almost appeared angry. I was so cold and scared. I have no idea how many minutes I and my best friend stood there hypnotized staring at the woman on the bike when I felt my best friend touch my hand and shake me a couple of times. "Diana, move, Diana. We have to go. Run." My best friend held my hand and I felt stronger. She held my hand. I instinctively knew that once we are inside the closed area, we'll be safe. I just knew. Okay, so the next day in the afternoon, I and my best friend were on our way back from the building towards the coffee bar, which in turn implied that we had to walk the same path. As teenagers, it was the day after the disco club, so we had to go to the coffee bar and have a coffee and smoke a cigarette and gossip about who kissed who and what we saw. Anyhow, as we were on the same path, we had to cross underneath the bridge where that weirdo lady was sitting on her bicycle. But there was a man placing candles and flowers. My best friend and I, being young idiots, stopped by and asked what he was doing. The man replied that his wife died on that spot 4 years ago. Then we asked how she died. He replied that she had an accident. The truck ran over her while she was on a bicycle in the exact same spot. I froze. My best friend and I stared at each other and screamed. We never spoke about it. I was at that time atheist. She was religious. And in my country, in Bosnia, there was a religious war, so I was a rebellious teenager who hated the idea of religion where people killed each other in the names of God. However, when I was studying in Florida, I started with yoga, and my third eye opened, and I learned that spirits do exist and that there is another side. We do not necessarily have to be strictly religious. Anyhow, I had many paranormal experiences since then. I love listening to your show. I hope I was coherent in telling my story. Hope I did not embarrass myself too much. I'm guessing this lady is a lost soul due to the accidental death or simply is a residual energy. My best friend says it's the devil. She's cute. She says that is what she learned in her religious studies. That's okay. My mom sees spirits, but she is a hardcore Catholic and whispers we are not supposed to see them and talk about them. I, however, see shadows. They're shadows of good spirits all the time. My son Marco is 6 years old and he can see spirits too. I'll speak about that some other time. I guess it's hereditary. Again, thank you so much for such fun and informative show. You guys are simply amazing. Diana.
I think the bicycle lady was just as surprised that people could see her as they were surprised.
Yeah, I don't get residual energy out of that.
No, I think that was just somebody that's going to keep in that same area.
Yeah. For whatever reason, that's where she is.
Mm-hmm.
Is she stuck there? I don't know. But she seemed conscientious that there was other people there and looking at her, and she was looking at them and trying to figure out what was going on. I don't get devil out of it. I don't get evil. I just get random ghost spirit, and for whatever reason, still there.
Do you think there's more likeliness of a haunting when it is something where somebody is killed like instantly versus a drawn out thing like somebody being hit on a bicycle, presuming they died right there?
I think it seems to be the case that when there's a sudden death, that the chances of it being a haunting go up quite a bit, as opposed to a long drawn out, you know you're going to die and you're waiting for it. Death. So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that also sometimes lends itself to being a residual energy, too, where those things happen because there's so much expelled at that moment in time, but this just doesn't have the traits of just a residual, you know, lady on the bike going by, you know, and then disappearing.
Yeah.
So, thank you for sharing that story with us, and yes, we would love to hear more of your stories. 855-853-4802. That's our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Kim writes in, my family immigrated to Michigan from England in the early 1990s, and one of our first homes was a modular home. The home was in a small community. Neighbors were close by, and we lived there for over a year without any strange occurrences. I was about 10 years old. My bedroom was on the far right corner of the home and was decorated like any normal 10-year-old girl's room would be. I had a four-poster canopy bed that I loved, and everything was pink. I normally slept through the night, but one night I woke up and it was still dark outside. However, there was a street light outside my bedroom window. The light easily shone through my light pink curtains. For some reason, I sat up as if I was wide awake. At the end of my bed, I could see the figure of what looked like a tall, middle-aged woman. She was dressed old-fashioned in a long gown that puffed out at the hips and had a large collar. Her hair appeared to be pinned in a bun on top of her head. The strange thing about her was that I could make out that she was a woman and I could see her attire, but she was solid black. I could not see any facial features or details on her outfit. She was standing bolt upright and appeared to be looking directly at me. Normally, I'd call out to my mom and dad, but for some reason, I felt safer lying down, pretending to be asleep. Felt like if I hadn't acknowledged that I had seen her then, she would leave me alone. I wrapped the blanket over my head and eventually fell back asleep. The very next night, I woke up around the same time. This time I felt startled and opened my eyes wide while lying on my side. Saw a very similar figure standing next to my bed, alongside my nightstand. The figure resembled the woman from the night before, solid black with no facial detail. This time, however, I felt it was a man. He was shorter than the woman had been and was overweight. When the woman had appeared, it had creeped me out, but there was something about the man that terrified me. I shut my eyes once I realized what I was looking at and squeezed them tight. I don't remember falling asleep quickly. It felt like an eternity that I laid there with my eyes held shut. I had never had anything like this happen in the past, but this had struck me to this day. What I find to be even stranger is that the day following my visit from the chubby man, my home burned down. I was next door at a friend's house, and my mom was home alone. She was able to get out safely, but the home was destroyed, everything except for my bedroom. The fire was stopped by the firefighters before I could touch my room, so many of my things were salvageable, even though everything else was lost. I just find it odd that to this day I've never seen the man or woman again, and I hadn't before they appeared just before the fire.
That is strange. For one, it's a second shadow person that's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that, what was it, yesterday?
Yeah.
And then now the paranormal activity occurs right before the home's destroyed, but doesn't continue, obviously, after the home is destroyed. What do you think of that?
It's very hard to determine if this is something where they showed up to, for whatever reason, protect his room, or they showed up and had something to do with the fire starting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just dumb luck that the room got saved because that's where the firefighters were able to stop the fire.
I don't know. It's a little too much of a coincidence that these two things happened so close. I don't know that they caused it or if maybe they were trying to show up as some kind of warning.
Trying to figure out the relation is very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe we're looking at the wrong area of relation there. Maybe we don't, maybe there's more to this that we are not aware of as far as why they showed up. Obviously, they didn't get the message across if they were trying to warn of a fire.
No.
They were unsuccessful in delivering that. But I don't know. There seems to be some sort of reason there.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as what that is, I don't know. That's up for debate. If somebody has any thoughts on that, feel free to open that up in the forum section on the website at Real Ghost Stories Online. Adriana writes in, Tony and Jenny, 12 years ago, my brother, sister-in-law, and some friends went on our annual camping trip. That year, we decided to try a new campground in Shelbyville, Illinois. Our annual camping trips usually consisted of us hiking through the woods at night and searching for old cemeteries. We usually took pictures, hoping to capture something paranormal. On our last night at the campground, there was a huge storm. Once it had passed around 11 p.m., we decided to pack up our things and head home. On our way out of the campground, we stopped at an unnamed cemetery. It was down a gravel road about a quarter mile into the woods. We drove the car down, parked, leaving the headlights on and the small chain-link fence. My sister and I were really creeped out for some reason, so we did not leave the car. My brother and our other friends got out of the car and went to pee on the end of the fence. We told them not to do it, but they did anyway. While they were doing that, I decided to take some pictures of the cemetery through the windshield of the car since the headlights were shining on the fence. I didn't bother looking at the pictures immediately after I took them because I didn't expect anything paranormal to show up. Once we had left and driven a few miles away, I started to go through the pictures on the digital camera. I came across one picture that clearly showed two apparitions. One looks like a man and the other a brunette woman in a white dress. I had my brother stop the car and pass the camera around. Everyone was absolutely shocked by the picture I captured. I've shown it to many people over the years, and most say someone must have been in the cemetery, but I can guarantee no one besides us was there. I even had a photography professor take a look at it and try to debunk it, and all he came up was that someone must have been in the cemetery. Tony, I'm going to email you the picture, and I'd love to hear what you and Jenny think. Did you get the picture?
I did not, so I wanted to share the story so that we can get the picture.
Yes, please do share the picture. You can email it. My email is Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. But yes, I'd love to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Until we see that, it's hard to like really...
I know.
Speculate on this, but it's interesting that it was taken to so many steps to try and validate the picture, and it sounds like it was. But yes, please do send that in. It's kind of one of those stories where intuition is very accurate. Something's off. They want to stay in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a reason for them feeling that way. Next letter comes in. Says, I'd love to share with you today an experience that left me scared out of my mind. It's a tad long, so my apologies. When I was 18, I moved out into a cute condo right by the University of Utah. When I moved out, my first roommate was a medium who told me of a man who was frequently in our unit and stood by the bathroom door in the hall. This ties in later. I'd frequently house sit for my parents when they were out of town, and we always had lots of pets. And at this time, we had three cats and my dog. While house sitting, I always stayed in one of our guest bedrooms in the basement. One cat in particular, Missy, would always join the dog, and I'd sleep down there. This week I was house sitting, I found it odd that she would never follow me into the basement like usual. I never put much thought into it. The room I was in shared a wall to the other room down and around the hall. One night my dog, who I should mention is small, about 12 pounds, woke me by barking and growling at the walls in the bedrooms that were shared. It freaked me out, of course, but I grabbed him and placed him back in the bed and we went back to sleep. Soon we awoke to a loud bang against the wall that the room shared. I jumped out of bed and turned a light on. Calmed my nerves and went back to sleep. I don't know what amount of time passed, but we were later awoken again by a violent shake on the bed. It felt as though a grown human had jumped onto or off the bed. In other words, the force is far greater than a cat or small dog could have created. The shake was followed quickly with an even louder bang, bang against the wall closest to me, to the left of the shared wall. My dog and I were both startled. I grabbed him and ran to the top floor and refused to go back down in the basement for 2 days. To this day, I'm convinced I had a spirit attached to me and often felt him and saw his shadow only when I showered. After this incident, I had finally had enough and called my landlord and friend, who was also a medium, begging her to vanquish or vanish the spirit that I believed was attached to me. I do have more stories with him, but I'll share those another time. Love listening to your show, and thanks for listening to me.
I'm wondering if it made its presence known during shower time, if it had something to do with the water.
Okay.
With, you know, being a better conduit, making whatever's attached show up easier, do things, have more power.
You know, that's an interesting thing, because I think a lot of people, when they have the shower ghosts, and we get those, mm-hmm. it's like, it seems like the ghost always liked to watch me in the shower. And our mind goes immediately to, well, it's a perverted ghost.
Right.
It likes looking at naked people. You make a good point. I wonder if sometimes their intention is really being misconstrued, because the water being the conduit, they're like, go, look, it's a flow, it's a conduit, I can... You know, mm-hmm. this will help me. And then, but they think I'm being a pervert, but they're really not. I'm just, you know, I can see that being a very frustrating moment as a ghost.
Yeah.
Very frustrating.
That's funny.
And I'm sure it's two-sided for some ghosts, too. It's like conduit and naked people. You know?
Right.
So, yeah, no matter how much, it's just a conduit. Yeah, it's just a conduit. Rick writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I listen to your show in the UK and I'm a big fan. I've told this story to a few people and thought I'd share it with you. A few years ago, my wife and I visited London to see a show, Blood Brothers, and we were staying for one night at the White House Hotel, London. During my night, my wife shook me awake. What's up? I asked her sleepily, and she told me that she'd had a nightmare. I can't remember what the nightmare was about, as this happened a few years ago, but it was not like her to wake me up like that. I comforted her, and she fell back to sleep on my shoulder. But just before she drifted off, she said, and I've just seen a woman at the end of the bed. She said it so matter-of-factly and as such an afterthought compared to the nightmare that I was surprised. I tried to question her, but she was already asleep. Forgetting about myself, I went back to sleep also. A couple of hours later, early hours perhaps, still dark, I woke. Naturally, nothing disturbed me. At the end of the bed, I saw a woman sitting facing away. She wasn't solid, but I saw her for a long enough period to make out that she was blonde, not old, and the thing I remember most clearly is that she had a ponytail. The strangest thing of all was that I remember being completely unfrightened. I always thought that if I ever saw a ghost, I'd be scared stiff, but this was not the case at all. If anything, I felt a calmness that I can't explain and drifted back off to sleep with ease. The next morning, we were getting ready for breakfast in our room. As I was brushing my teeth, I remember what I had seen and asked my wife if she remembered telling me that she had seen a woman at the end of the bed. She said yes, and so I asked her if the woman had a ponytail, at which point my wife's jaw dropped and she went white. Turns out we had both seen the same blonde woman. I hope my British ghost makes it onto your show and would love to know your thoughts on why we were terrified at the sight of her. Love what you guys do, and many thanks. Rick in Manchester in the UK.
I think if you're going to be haunted while you're on a trip, that this is probably the best case scenario. For one, you probably assumed that the wife had a nightmare, woke up, was kind of freaked out, thought she saw something. You go back to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
This way you both know neither one of you are losing your mind or seeing things because you saw the exact same thing.
Sure.
But in not being afraid, you know, she obviously didn't mean any harm. She was just probably there. She didn't give off a bad feeling. So mm-hmm. I think it's kind of a win all the way around as far as not having a malevolent ghost, and you both were able to experience that.
And you got a good night's sleep out of it, too. It helped you sleep better. It's like a spa ghost.
Spa ghost.
it's interesting because I've never, in this sort of a setting, not seen a ghost like that clear, mm-hmm. like right next to me. The only time I ever actually think we saw something was way up in a tower far high in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that was pretty creepy, but it was still far away. It wasn't as clear as this.
Right.
But I was in a setting once where, and maybe this makes sense. I always wonder how people can just simply fall back asleep when they see a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm wide awake. At least that's what I think I would be like if I were in that situation. But I had stayed at a hotel once, and it was doing a morning show. The next morning, it was about ghosts. We were going to talk about the hauntings at the hotel. And best night, I've said this before, best night of sleep I think I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I slept the whole night through, and I don't sleep the whole night through ever.
Right.
I'm waking up at least every 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
At least. That's how I sleep. I'm a fairly light sleeper. But this night at this hotel I'd never been to, kind of creepy, kind of run down, you would think that would put my anxiety at even a more heightened state than normal, and that I would be sleeping even more lightly. But I slept the entire night through. Now, my co-host, who was across the hall, had said that she heard stuff in the hallway, like people out there talking, and we were the only ones. This was the end of the season at this hotel. No one was there other than us.
Mm-hmm.
Even the caretaker that night went home.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, we're gonna be the only ones in the building, so you know, if there's something wrong, like a fire, you need to call the police yourself.
Okay.
Because no one else is going to be here. And so it was and she was like, she heard this and that. And I'm like, I slept great. I didn't hear anything. And it makes me wonder if that's one of those things where they somehow have control over us, or they there's something about them that puts our nerves at ease if it's a certain type of entity that allows us to go off to sleep. I don't know.
I think it's more so in that case is we're going to knock you out so you don't hear anything and mess with her all night.
Could be.
Because we have stories like that all the time.
That's true. I don't know. It's just, it's bizarre. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that was paranormal. I never saw a ghost. I never heard a ghost. It was paranormal enough for me to feel like there was something going on there, but the fact that I slept the whole night through, that in my world is paranormal.
I don't think I've ever known you to sleep a whole night through.
No. That's why it was so weird. That is just, it was, anyhow. I'm wondering if there's a tie-in there somehow.
Could be.
Next story. Chloe writes in, hi guys, I've always had weird little things happen to me, almost laughable, but also a bit disturbing for a 21-year-old girl who's just trying to go about daily life. Not that anything happened in ages, and I just moved to a new place. So I'm picking up vibes in my new place, and it feels fine. But then last night, I thought I'd treat myself to Ben and Jerry's, went to the freezer, opened the drawer, put some in a bowl, and placed it back on the drawer. The flat feels super chilly when I go to bed, so I actually punch up a towel and put it against my bedroom door to stop the draft. The next morning, I get up to have my coffee, and I spot the Ben and Jerry's on the windowsill. But it's not like a cute window where there's a view when you put stuff on the sill. It's a horrible window, very high up and small, and it's for light purposes only. I haven't put anything there before, and it's not really easily accessible or a good idea. The ice cream has melted completely, and it took all my willpower not to have it as a massive, silky milkshake. So I'm completely freaked out. Both my flatmates are away and their families for the weekend, so it wasn't them. Texted them all a picture of the random ice cream on the windowsill and explained my panic, and they responded that I must have sleptwalk, which I was actually happy to accept because that would help me sleep at night. I'm on my way to work thinking about what weird morning it had been, and it hits me. I had to remove that towel from under the door this morning to get out. It was still fully wedged. Sleep eating I could consider, but then getting on my hands and knees and tucking it back under the door nearly or while asleep, it all just seemed a bit too much. I know it's not scary, but it's just one of 1,000 silly, weird little things that happen. I also had a sponge hit me in the forehead in my old kitchen. No one believed me, but I couldn't rationalize it. Anyway, hope you guys are well and this didn't bore you. I won't be offended if you don't share it. I'm a proud EPP while being a broke student, so your other listeners have no excuse. It's just giving up one Starbucks a month. That's true. It really is. It's a Starbucks a month or a coffee or whatever.
Now, I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but I could see if you could sleepwalk enough to go make yourself another bowl of ice cream and put everything back, I could see you taking that towel and putting it back too. Under the door.
It's a lot to do. That's a very intricate sleepwalker.
It is, but she didn't need it. The ice cream was left out on the counter. The freezer was still open. Anything like that.
Sure.
Other than the bowl was someplace it shouldn't have been.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
That would be the rational explanation.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like there might be something else going on here. Especially when she's saying there's like all these other things too.
Sure.
So let's start hearing more of the other things too.
Yeah.
And let's see what else. I mean, I'm wondering if this is kind of a haunted person, you know, where there's lots, because she said in her former apartment, this happened. This is happening here. I wonder if it's just kind of like little things, not necessarily malevolent or anything like that. Malevolent. or anything like that. But something that just, you know, kind of follows around. Maybe it is kind of a guardian spirit, but likes to tinker. And I mean, that's, if I get to follow someone around as a ghost and like watch them like a grandkid or a great grandkid or something, I'll be there to help, but you'll be damn sure I'm going to screw with them a little bit too.
Yeah.
There'll be weird shit going on. Not scary, just odd.
Just eat ice cream and leave it out.
Just weird things.
Well, I don't know. I was just kind of hoping for her to not have that haunted life, but who knows?
Want to hear more? Let us know. 855-853-4802 is our number. Neil writes in, a coworker of mine told me that he enjoyed visiting haunted locations when he went on vacation. It never occurred to me to visit such a place, despite the fact that I love all things spooky. I suppose I just thought that it was cheesy or touristy to try to create a scary experience on a guided tour with a bunch of strangers walking around a town or visiting historic houses or hotels. However, on a visit with my girlfriend in New Orleans, we decided to try it because the city is so old and it felt like it would actually be fun. Creepy experience. The majority of the tour I don't remember much about, as it was 10 years ago or more, but eventually we went to an office above a functioning, busy bar in the French Quarter. The office was like an attic with unfinished walls, floors, and a ceiling, just wood planking for all surfaces. Apparently, a man managed or owned the bar, and during a fight with his boyfriend, he was murdered brutally with a baseball bat in this room, which is only used for this tour now, but otherwise empty. The guide suggested we take pictures in a particular part of this room, as orbs often showed up in the photos people took in that area. I was being playful for the benefit of the group of friends I was with and mocked the ghost, calling him stupid or asking if he was so scary and otherwise daring him to do something. When we developed the pictures from the trip, we found the photo of me standing in the suggested spot after mocking the ghost, but instead of any orbs, there was a big, black, angry-looking shadow next to me, leaning towards me in the middle of the room, not projected on a surface like a typical shadow. I'm standing there with a smirk on my face, unaware anything is there. I now have two thoughts on the matter. I feel glad he didn't decide to follow me home and haunt me, as I seem to have angered him, and he seemed to be directing his attention towards me. On the other hand, I wonder if the ghost tour people had just set up some effects that could somehow show up in photos but not be obvious to us walking around the room, especially considering their suggestion about the one area to photograph. This is my one and only first-hand encounter with anything possibly supernatural. I'll try to find that photo this week and forward it to you, to this post along with the story.
You know, we went on a ghost tour once, and they were like, here, take pictures of this tree, and the way you took pictures with your phone, there was some kind of light anomaly. It wasn't really something happening, but it looked like orbs.
Yeah, I was as exactly what was going through my mind when I was reading that. Mm-hmm. There was a story with the tree, and it was a legitimate story, I think, of someone being hung there or something of that nature.
Yeah.
And there's a street lamp that was fairly close by, and the tour guy's like, and people get all these orb pictures right here. And I was just curious, so I held my phone up, and, you know, it'll go to that just viewable area without taking the photos. And you could clearly see what did look like orbs, but you also realized they were light refractions.
Yeah.
The way that it was hitting, something was reflecting, and it just happened to, and you could tell because it was still. And the way you angled your camera, it would appear to kind of move, but you could very easily tell this is not an orb in your picture. If you're just holding it up and flashing and not looking at it for a long period of time, you could easily think it was an orb.
Yeah.
But this, however, was just a light refraction, which I would imagine on a lot of tours like that, you know, they probably do encourage things of that nature, because you can get a lot of people going, oh my God, look at this picture of an orb I got on this specific ghost tour, and then it sends more people that way.
Sure.
So, you know, could you get things on a ghost tour? Sure. But, you know, I agree. I kind of stray away from the, and right here, all the orbs are pictures are taken, you know,
mm-hmm.
without a little bit of investigating at least, because sometimes they can debunk that stuff pretty quick. But if you sat there with your camera and looked at it like we did for a little bit, you know, if you don't see anything and then suddenly on your photos you get stuff, that could very well be an orb. Especially if they're in different places and you're taking the same shot, same location.
And I don't know how hard it would be to fake a shadow person in your picture, how they would do that. Because it said, you know, they said in the story mm-hmm. that there was like an angry shadow person like leaning over him.
Sure.
And I have no idea how you would even do that. Of course, I don't know much about cameras and things like that, but that would be harder, I think, than the orb.
I think it'd take a little bit of planning.
Yeah.
I doubt they had a plant shadow person in there.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know. And there was a restaurant here in town that is no longer in existence. And they have a really good shadow person picture up on their wall.
Yes.
And it's supposedly a haunted place. It's called Doc's Steakhouse. And we did a little video there a long time ago. They had a really interesting photo, and it was taken probably in the 70s of the restaurant. And clear as day, there is a shadow person in it. And it looks like a shadow,
mm-hmm.
literally on the building, reflecting of a person, and there is nothing there to make it.
Yeah.
It's one of the best shadow pictures, people pictures I've ever seen. And it was not meant to be a paranormal picture. And they put it up on the wall, and it's not meant for people to go, oh, there's a shadow person. It's just meant to be an old photo of the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
But the people there who worked there knew all about it. And they would point it out, you know, they pointed it out to me because anyway, I was interested in it. And it was very bizarre. So one of those things you really, unless you had a lot of planning, could you manipulate it? Sure, some way, shape, or form. But a lot of these are not manipulated.
No.
It just is what it is. Another letter. Hi, before I begin, just want to let you both know, love your show. I'm now 28 years old, but my story took place when I was 22 years old. The location was my childhood home in Queens, New York. Here's my story. For an entire week, I kept waking up at 2:30 a.m. because I felt that someone was watching me. I'd look around my room, but would not see anyone or anything. I know the exact time because I would check my phone for the time every time I woke up. On the Friday of that week, I again woke up at 2:30 a.m., looked around my room, but this time was different. I saw something. It was a black shadow, looked like an outline of a man because of the shoulders. The moment I laid eyes on the shadow, the air and feel of the room went completely still and quiet. I tried to move or make a sound, but I could not move. I felt paralyzed. Nor could I speak, my mouth open, but no sound came out of it. As I continued to struggle to move and talk, the shadow moved closer to me. Got so close, it was standing right next to me while I laid in my bed. While next to me, it bent over to me to the point where it was face to face with me, except I could not see its face, only a black void. While it bent over to let out a laugh, it was a very evil laugh, so evil it sent a shiver throughout my body. I never heard such evil laughter like that before. After it laughed, it simply disappeared. The air returned to normal and I was able to move and talk. I never saw the shadow again after that experience. However, since that time, I've moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, in my own home, and to this day, there will be periods in the night where I'd wake up and have the feeling that I'm being watched. I live alone, no roommates, but I'd also wake up and there would be banging on my bedroom door and rattling of the doors as if someone was trying to get in. I'd ignore all of this and return to sleep out of mind and out of sight. I have a guest bedroom, and some of my guests, when they slept over, would hear footsteps running up and down my stairs in the middle of the night. I would hear banging on the doors as well. These occurrences make me wonder if the shadow has latched onto me and followed me to my new home. That's my story. Hope to hear you read it and maybe help me figure out what it is. Thanks, Avi.
Maybe it's not a shadow that's following you. Maybe it's more so you're sensitive to things and you've got something completely different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't typically hear shadow people making a lot of noise.
Yeah. I'm wondering, the thing is, with other people hearing it as well,
mm-hmm.
I could see that, you know, Avi being hypersensitive to it, seeing the shadow, hearing the things, and other people hearing the things. Maybe it's one of those things where there's several things going on here at once.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a shadow person or this or that. It's several things, some just passing through, some being resident there. You happen to have the joy and the skill of being able to experience all the magic, and your friends just to get some of the magic.
Yeah.
Unless they're as sensitive as you are. I don't know, it sounds rather odd.
Yeah. No, I was just thinking if Avi was sensitive, that would explain having multiple mm-hmm. locations where there's been experiences of paranormal activity.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I was going to say beyond just that one spot.
Sure. And not all different things, but mm-hmm. yeah. Interesting story. Thank you, Avi, for writing in. Katie writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. I've been listening for a few months now and was considering writing in a story, but I wasn't sure if it was scary or interesting enough. I decided today I would send it because I heard an extremely similar story in one of your recent episodes, The Girl at Gettysburg. This took place over 10 years ago. I was 11, and when my family and I drove to Seattle to see some of my favorite dad's old Navy friends. The trip lasted around 3 weeks, and we stopped at numerous national parks and historical places that were even remotely on the way. One of the places we stopped was the Little Bighorn Battlefield. Suppose that this place is less known than somewhere like Gettysburg, but in short, it was the last stand of General Custer and his army. They were fighting against local tribes of the First Nations of the area, and the Native Americans won, and Custer's army sustained huge casualties. In other words, the battlefield has seen terrible bloodshed. Unfortunately, my dad had timed the driving poorly for that day, so we wound up reaching Little Bighorn, and it was getting dark. We got out, looked around for a little while anyway. Little Bighorn is exactly what you'd imagine. It mostly just fields, little stands of trees, sort of surrounding. In one of those stands of trees, I saw men in 19th century military uniforms, probably around 10 of them. I started to run towards them because I wanted to see what was going on. I got fairly close and was blocked by a fence, and I could still see them, and they looked at me. However, my mom started freaking out and yelling for me because I had disappeared. I went back to my parents and made them come and look, but of course the men had vanished. My parents promptly told me that it was just my imagination, and if I bring it up now, they don't even remember it. Still to this day, I'm not sure if what I saw was real, but I'll definitely never forget it. Thanks for reading my story. I've been really enjoying your podcast over these last few months since I first started listening. Katie.
We get all kinds of stories like that where you see things on battlefields. And, you know, I'm going to go with it wasn't reenactors. It was probably something because it was late in the day. And mm-hmm. I would think that they'd be done by then.
Now you see it. Now you don't.
Yeah. And I don't know if there's even reenactors up there at the Battle of Little Bighorn.
I don't know. I would imagine that you saw something and it wasn't human.
Yeah.
Or at least it not anymore. It was a ghost of some sort. It's interesting where, you know, parents forget things of that nature. Something so big that sticks in the mind of someone and they ask you, like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's frustrating.
How do you remember that? I get that a lot. And it makes me, like, wonder, is there going to be things, like, that our girls bring up to us where I'm, like, I have no recollection of that were, like, kind of big for them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there will be.
Probably.
I have no idea. But anyway, good story. Thank you for sharing that that with us. Number here, 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, we need your support to keep this show on the air. That's where you guys come in to be EPPs, get all the bonus episodes, bonus video content, and so much more. It's only $5 a month to sign up for. You can sign up for a full year and get 1 month free. Option is yours. If you like the show, you listen frequently, please chip in a little bit and help us keep this thing going. On the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.